In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We just sang, Savior of the nations, come, and we need to remember that we are those nations of whom the hymn speaks, who Isaiah and the other Old Testament writers will write about, because Israel is the people. So you need to get used to that. Of course, if you're from a German ancestry, you didn't talk about yourself being a German back in the day. You talked about yourself being the folk. If you're a Navajo who grew up on the reservation in Arizona or New Mexico, you called yourself Diné. All of those mean people or the people. Everybody else is an outsider. As Americans, because we've had nations come from so many places to form this nation, we haven't had quite that same tight identity as some of these others have. Now, we've had it in neighborhoods, we've had it in states, we've had it in counties, but usually it divides along racial lines, it divides along church lines, it divides along economic lines. There's the rich people and the poor people. There's the Lutherans, the Catholics, the Protestants, the Jews, or whomever else. There's white people, black people, yellow people, brown people, if you want to divide things that way. But there's not a people in the way that Israel was a people, or that other people who were so close to one another, so many things, were a people. But Israel was a people above all the other people because God's the one who called them to be his people. And there's the difference. Abraham, when he's an old man, called out of a family that worshiped idols, moon gods, and things like that. Isaac, then, the promise reiterated. And then, of course, Jacob. And if you're going to look at the moral character, the sterling goodness of any of those three, Jacob is at the bottom of your list. Yet he's the one who God renames Israel and then gives that name to the people who follow. Because it wasn't Jacob who made the deal with God any more than Abraham or Isaac made a deal with God. God made it with them. I will be your God, you will be my people. And he protected them when some of Jacob's kids tried to kill one of them through the time in Egypt and then on with the protection through the famine and the bad years that follow and the oppression under Pharaoh's. And he protected them under Moses as he led them out. Sure, they were going to be killed at the banks of the Red Sea, only to have it open up in front of them and then swallow their enemies behind. He gave them more of the details of what it was like to be his people as he pronounced his love for them and also then laid out the rules for their living at Sinai. And he kept saying, "You mind your business, and I will continue to take care of you." But even when they didn't, so often he did. And the nations around marveled. Moses even used those nations out there when God was so angry with them at Sinai. Remember with the golden calf? You just heard that scripture a few weeks ago. And God is just fuming. "I'll destroy them and I'll start somebody new with you, Moses." And Moses said, "No, because then the nations around here will laugh. They will mock you, the God whose name is above all other names, who is the Holy One of Israel. I'm sorry, God, but you promised." Well, God knew he promised. God wasn't going to go back on it. But that test for Moses then also showed that Moses believed that through thick and thin, through good and bad, God would continue to be the God of his chosen people. Even when he sends them into exile many centuries later, he is still their God. Even though he withdraws his presence from Jerusalem, lets his holy city fall, lets the temple be pillaged and the ark and the other fixtures carried off, he still loves his people and he brings them back. Even when there's no king, yet the line of the king remains. And even when Gentiles are all over the Holy Land, whether it's the Assyrians, the Greeks, or then the Romans, God keeps the line of David, of Solomon, of Hezekiah open and alive. And in the fullness of time, then, he brings in the final king who will rule not only over the people, but the nations. Because Jesus is not just the Savior of Israel. He's certainly not just the guy to pick up a sword to drive the Romans out of Jerusalem, to plunge them into the Red Sea, and to cleanse all of the unbelievers from the land. No, he is the God of those Romans, and of the Greeks, and of the Syrians, and of the Germans, and of the people who nobody had heard of yet at that time. And even before you were born, he is already your God, your Savior, and your Lord. The Savior of the nations is the Savior of Americans and Armenians. He's the Savior of the entire world and everyone who has ever been born to it, whether they acknowledge it, whether they claim it, whether they want it, whether they believe it or not. Why shouldn't we shout for joy? Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Well, does that make you start mumbling just a bit? When you start thinking, well, am I righteous enough? Am I upright enough? Aren't I at least a little bit bent or crooked or unrighteous? Haven't I got something against me? Not with the forgiveness you have in Jesus, you don't. Because you are cleansed and pure and holy, completely and absolutely. And you can sing the praise of the Lord out loud with an absolutely clear conscience. And you can stand up before him, you can kneel before him, you can sit before him, you can lie down before him and know that you are upright. That you are pure, you are righteous, and you are his. And that's why then we give thanks to the Lord. Well, with a lyre, maybe with a harp of 10 strings, perhaps, or tonight with a piano, or on a Sunday with an organ, or with a guitar, or with unaccompanied music. We don't stop praising the Lord because the Lord doesn't stop loving us. And we can sing beautifully, or we can sing less than beautifully. The Lord doesn't put a criteria on how many notes you nail perfectly, on whether you can sustain a whole note for all four beats, whether you get those dots right or not. The Lord listens to the heart that's behind the song, the heart that knows that it's been cleansed by him, the heart that knows it is saved by him, the heart that knows Jesus' heart broke for them, cried out for them, and finally pumped its last beat for them that they might be his. It doesn't say take shortcuts either, though, of course. To sing less than our best, to play less ably than we can, to just go in and slop our way through worship when we have time to think about what we're saying and doing and reading and preaching and praying. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. And because that word is upright and that word is in you, that word spoken, that word proclaimed, that word washed over you in baptism, and especially that living flesh and blood incarnate word Jesus Christ is in you. That word, Jesus, is always upright. And as that Jesus Christ lives in you, you cannot be but upright. And that upright God stands you up. So your knees don't buckle with fear in the presence of God. And they don't melt away in the presence of God's enemies. But just as his steadfast love fills the earth, so also he keeps you steadfast in faith and in hope and in love. Faith toward him, hope for the things to come, and in love for one another. For the redeemed of the nations, as well as the redeemed of Israel, and for those who won't accept him or who don't know him, but whom he still loves. Our soul waits for the Lord. Tick, tick. When are you coming? The church is asked, sometimes more fervently, and sometimes it's sort of a thought in the back of our minds. But our soul does wait. Waits for blessing, waits for kindness, waits for guidance, waits for direction. But most of all, our soul waits for that same thing time after time. To know that God loves us. To know that sinners though we are, saints also we are. Forgiven, pure, and clean. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. We just said we trust in his holy name. We just confessed it. I believe in God the Father Almighty and in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. That is the trust you have in God. A trust created by the Spirit through the Word that you might be saved. That the Savior of the nations might be the Savior of the people who gather in this church this night in Earnestville. And that he might also be the Savior of all of the other nations throughout the world. Those that have risen and fallen, though those are still on their way up, and those that we don't even know about yet, as long as time lasts. Savior of the nations come. Virgin Son, make here your home. Marvel now, O heaven and earth, that the Lord chose such a birth. On one area, it's an Advent and Christmas song saying, make it right here in this manger, in this town called Bethlehem, but also then in this church. And of course, as we sing corporately, we also sing individually, in this heart. In this heart that you cleansed by water and the word. In this heart that you created anew in me. And that you renew steadfastly by the forgiveness of sins. Come, make this your home. Make St. Matthew Earnestville your home. Make the entire Lutheran church, the entire Christian church, or that which calls itself Christian, truly your home. Make this nation your home. Make the nations of the world your home. But finally, Lord, make us come into our eternal home, our one home, our united home, where we are not the nations, but we are truly the people. No matter what color, no matter what languages we grew up with, no matter what things happened in our past that were ugly, that were wrong, that were broken, that were sinful, that we might be gathered together as the pure, righteous, holy, and upright children of God forever and ever. Our other scriptures talked about that as well. Those who fear the Lord seek to please him. We fall into the hands of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Who is the faithful and wise one? Blessed is that servant who the master finds ready. It's here for you. You, who were once no people, are now the people of God. Cling to that, hope in that, trust in that, and know that as God's people, he has literally already moved heaven and earth and will continue to do so, that you will remain that way into life everlasting. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.